Lord's given us a beautiful, beautiful day of life, and we're very, very thankful for that. And what a joy to be able to study the Word of God and learn the Word of God today. Thank you for praying for us while we were away. We had a great trip. We're so glad to be home. And the older we get, the more we like to be home. But anyway, we had a good time away. It was stormy and rainy every day except one day. And so we were in Denver, Colorado. Miss Tammy kept saying, "I thought there were mountains here." And you couldn't see them, you know. And so Wednesday, it finally cleared up. The sun came out. And then, of course, you could see mountains everywhere. And so anyway, we had a great meeting. And we thanked the Lord for his blessings. And we had a good number of visitors every night. And the Lord blessed. Brother William had some of his people give testimonies each night of the meeting. And on the last night of the meeting, on Wednesday night, the gentleman that was giving a testimony, his mom drove all the way from Missouri to be there in the service and watch him give a testimony. His mom was saved. She was saved that night and got saved that night and got baptized that night. Anyway, that was really, really exciting, and so we just thank the Lord, and we praise the Lord for his blessings. We did pass out a generic handout today. Brother Mike's going to be teaching our class, and so we do have you a spot where you can take some notes and things like that, jot down some references, and so that's available to you. Also, at the bottom of that handout is a place where you can put down your prayer request, and so if you have a special prayer request, then jot those down, and you can turn those into the information desk throughout the day, and they'll make sure that I get them before we leave tonight. And so I want to say real quickly, thank you to all those who filled in for us, and we heard great reports while we were gone, and that the Lord blessed, and so we are very, very thankful for his blessings. But we're ready to get into the Word this morning, and I hope you brought your Bible, hope you're ready to learn today, and so let's go to the Lord and ask the Lord to help us, and Evan, we got just a little bit of a bounce going on from up here. I don't know what's going on. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your blessings. And Lord, I just thank you for a great week. And Lord, any time that we can stand and announce that somebody has been born again, Lord, that's always a great report. And we just thank you, Lord, for working in Cindy's life. We thank you for saving her. And then, Lord, we're so thankful for her excitement and, Lord, her willingness to even get baptized that night before she drove back to the state of Missouri. And I pray for her growth. I pray for her family's growth. Lord, I pray that you'll bless in every single need today. There are many. There are many right now. And we pray, Lord, for our folks, that you would touch them and encourage them and heal them. Lord, I pray for Todd and Tammy that you'd continue to minister their needs. I pray for Brother Todd's healing. And I pray for the son-in-law, Cody, God, that you'd heal him. I pray for Miss Sandra, Lord, that you continue to minister to her. And we pray for her healing, Miss Dorla. And Lord, all of those that have been under the weather here recently, Father, I pray that you would touch them. And I pray that you would heal them. Lord, I pray that you would encourage those that are discouraged today. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you might edify all who are here and all those who watch by way of live stream today. God, I pray that you bless our class this morning, and we pray that you would direct Lord Brother Mike and Lord give him wisdom and Lord that spirit of knowledge, and I pray that he would be able to be used of you to minister to us and Lord, to teach us the Word of God. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd give us all a hunger to learn and to know more about the Christian life and what the Scriptures have for us. And so, Lord, just we ask you, Lord, to come and just breathe upon us in a great way today. I know many of our folk are away, and we're in that time of the year. And we pray for them that you would give them traveling mercies and safety. And then maybe some of those will be watching by way of live stream today. But God, I pray all that's done would honor the Lord Jesus Christ and that he would be lifted up. And Father, that you'll be pleased through all that's done. We pray as much as we know how that you might bind the powers of darkness. And Lord, that you would keep them away from us. Keep them away from this place. And God, we pray, Lord, that you would put a hedge of protection around us and just help us and be with us. And I pray that you'd bless our time of Sunday school. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your goodness today. Father, we sure love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. All right, Brother Mike.
Well, you could have just thanked the Lord that it was rain and not snow. I was thinking about bringing all my notes, but we couldn't be here that long. Ephesians. We're going to start in Ephesians, end up in Genesis. We're going to be like the Hebrews and go backwards. Three verses that are very familiar to most of us. Verse 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Most of the time, we don't quote verse 10. Verse 8 and 9 has to do with your salvation. Verse 10 has to do with your living. God has already ordained what you're supposed to do. It's up to us to find out what God wants us to do. I want to try to help you out today. Preacher's been preaching on the filling of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and fruit of the Spirit, rather. He has preached on the gifts. And I remember he said, you need to find out what your gift is. I remember when a preacher said that one time in a service. And I said, oh, I wonder what mine is. And it's real easy to find out. You know, sometimes we make the Christian life so hard. And it's not. I mean, it's just like salvation. Before you're saved, that seems like that's the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life. And yet, it's by faith. It's through faith. That's easy. We all have faith. Every lost person has faith. There's not a person alive that doesn't have faith because they believe in something. It may be wrong, may be incorrect, but they still have faith that that's going to work for them. See, it's you're not working against other forces. I'm about to get off track, and I don't want to do that. I want to try to help you and help me too. What is your place in God's plan? We all know that God has a plan for the universe and for the world. We read that in Revelation. For this world is going to be burned up and cast away. All the stars, the moon, gone. Everything you see is going to be gone. I remember when I was in college that there was a professor that said, now some people believe that he's not going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And as soon as he said that, I said, but that's what the Bible says. Okay. He's going to renovate. Like, you know, he didn't give you a new body when you got saved. So he's just going to renovate. He ain't going to renovate my body. He's going to give me a new body. Okay? This body's not going to be renovated for me to go to heaven. It ain't going to make it up there. He's got to give me a new body. He's going to give you a new body. But a body that we will recognize with one another. And in Ephesians 10... the main thing I want to focus on is created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We all want to be in God's will. And we all want to know what God has for us. Now, most of us in here, if not all of us, have read in the Bible that Jesus rose from the dead and gave gifts unto men. And we know there's the gift of the pastorate, the gift of teaching, the gift of now, we don't like to say these, but there's a gift of tongues, there's a gift of healings, there's a gift of governments, there's a gift of rules. I like this one. There's a gift of helps. That doesn't sound exciting, does it? Helps? Let me tell you what. When we have a fellowship back here, a lot of gifts are being exercised. Because you're not cooking for you. You're not fixing for you. You're fixing for God's people. The gifts were not made for you to do something with so people could say, oh, boy, you really are. Gifts were given to us so we could magnify Jesus Christ in and through the church. Jesus died for the church. And we are to magnify Jesus Christ in the church. And the best way we can do that is with our gifts. Now, in saying that, I need to kind of give you three things in introduction, and I hope I get through them. Because I only have one point, and everybody got a lot of verses. The first thing I want us to realize about God's plan is everyone does not have the same position. Now, some of these things we just know, but we don't live that way. Why does that person get to sing all the time? Well, maybe God gave them that gift. Now, there's a difference between a gift and a talent. A talent is something you can learn. A gift is something you didn't have, but God gave to you. So it's something that you didn't have before you were saved, that since you've been saved, you can do this and you really enjoy it. Now, that's one way you can realize what your gift is. But my example is Moses and his family. There's Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And let me pick this up so I can read it. There we go. It's got words on it. Moses was the baby. Do you realize that? He was not the oldest. He was the youngest of the three. But Moses was the leader. Aaron was second in command, and Miriam had nothing to do. But go back about 40 years, and Miriam was most important because she watched over baby Moses in the bulrushes. Not Aaron, not Mama, but Miriam. Miriam's the one that went to Pharaoh's daughter and convinced her to let her, Miriam, take this baby that she found to the Hebrews to be nursed until it was weaned. And guess where the baby went? He went home. But Miriam did that. But once Moses grew up, Miriam kind of, and so Miriam had, when she and Aaron rebelled against Moses' leadership, she had a little bit in her background that could have caused her to be a little jealous. But God didn't worry about that. He said, you overstepped your bounds, and he gave her leprosy. That was a death sentence. But Miriam, you didn't hear about Miriam very much anymore until she died. But was Miriam's gift used? Yes. Was she used specifically for a real reason? Yes. Was she used every day? No. And your gift may be used once a week. Your gift may be used once a year. It may be used once in your lifetime. But because Miriam did what God wanted her to do, and watching over her little brother in the Nile River there, a whole nation was saved and delivered from bondage. If she hadn't done that, a crocodile would have had supper. So Miriam's exercising of her faith in what she did was vitally important to a nation, which, by the way, was vitally important to us, because through that nation came the Savior. So how many times do we read about Miriam? Once. So sometimes whatever your gift is may not be out where people see it. Nobody saw Miriam. She had to go and find the Pharaoh's daughter. They didn't come looking for her. Nobody knew Miriam was even around. Well, yeah, but what about all the other things she did in the home? We have no idea what she did. Now, she may have done a lot. And when we get to heaven, we may find out that she did a lot more than what we ever thought. But on earth and in the Word of God, God doesn't mention Miriam very much. So the thing you need to realize is that everybody's position is not the same. Now, pastor, he has to exercise his position every day. And he exercises his position in the church at least twice a week, Sunday and Wednesday. But he exercises his position more than that when he goes out and preaches like he did out there in Denver. And he's known, but you're not known. When preachers walk in here, they go up and shake his hand. When they walk in here, they don't know you from Adam. But does that mean that you're less important than he is? No. It means he has a different position than you and I have. That's all that means. What about on a job? Somebody has to be the boss. And when people come to find out about what you do or what that company does that you work for, somebody has to talk to them, and it ain't going to be you. It's going to be the boss. Or it may be a super. Or it may be somebody else. Nobody comes and talks to you, but you know what you have? You have a responsibility. And you do your responsibility, and that company functions to its best. So if we do what we are supposed to do in the church, then the church will function to its best, though we are never known. So the first thing is, everybody doesn't have the same position. So don't look at somebody else and say, well, I wish I had that position. Man, look how everybody just smiles at them and talks to them, and everybody knows them. And second point is pretty important. Not every position has the same responsibility. I like him having the responsibility as pastor. That means I don't have to worry about the bills. I don't have to be concerned about the property, except for praying for. Yeah, I don't have to be concerned about visiting in the hospitals. I mean, he goes down to Charlotte. He goes to Winston. Good night. He goes all over the place, visiting in the hospitals. I remember when I was in Key West, Miami, and I went to out on, well, it was close to Miami Beach. It was about 25 miles away. But I went out there because one of my people was having an operation. And I went out there to be with it was one of the ladies, and the husband was there, and I went in his home. And he was out of a Catholic background. And there were some Catholics in there, and we were talking. I was talking with him, and we were about to leave. And he said, hey, Pastor, come here. I said, yeah, what? He says, my Catholic friends just cannot get over it that you came to the hospital to visit us and we didn't have to pay you any money. I said, well, of course. That's part of my responsibility. A responsibility. If you got to be paid for it, it's not a responsibility. It's a duty. So everybody's responsibility is different. So you say, boy, I wish I could do what so-and-so does. What? You don't know their responsibility. Oh, they don't have any responsibility. You don't know because you're not in that position. Some responsibilities are really tough. I mean, some of them are easy. Now, Brother Steve, he picks up, not brother, not pastor, Brother Steve. He helps with the trash sometimes after church. You know what? That looks real easy. Unless you got a bum leg like me or Brother Mike down here, and it's hard to bend over without losing your balance. And I could say, man, everybody sees him working. They think he's really great. And here I am. I'm just walking around with a cup of coffee in my hand. Well, I'm glad I can walk around. Besides, I don't want to pick up the trash. I did that plenty of times when I was in the pasture because I had to clean the church. So everybody doesn't have the same responsibilities. Ladies that dust up here, oh, look at that. Isn't that so nice? Wow, they're not doing very much. If that's what God's given them to do, that's a big deal. And if they don't do it, guess what? The next service, there's dust up here. And you would have, if you wanted that job, you would have to stay after morning service instead of walking out and going home and getting to the eating during the place. You'd have to be here dusting or sweeping or vacuuming the carpet. See, sometimes all we do is just see what we want to see instead of what has to be done in order to be seen. And the ladies don't do it to be seen. And if you look at them, they're really smiling, enjoying themselves. That's just because they're crazy, that's all. But, you know, but your gift, here's the thing now. We haven't gotten to gifts yet. But God says your gift will make room for you. In other words, when it's time for your gift to be used in the church, God will make sure that your gift is used. He didn't give you a gift to get to heaven like Pastor taught on the talent. Get to heaven and say, well, God, you gave me this gift, but, you know, well, I didn't want to use you. That ain't going to happen. Because it gives everybody exactly what they can do. And he makes sure that your timeline comes to the point where you can exercise that gift. Now, I tell you, I would love to be able to teach like Brother Looney does on the TV thing. But I'm stupid when it comes to electronics. I got to go to my grandkids to find out how to do something on my phone. How am I going to? But you know what? After a while, I just said, you know what? That ain't what God wants for me to do. I started writing a novel. I did. I've got about 5 chapters done. It's only taken me from 1970. That's when I started it. I had to change it. I actually started it before that, but I don't remember what it was. Because I know I started before I got saved, and I got saved in 67. So I had some words in there that Christians shouldn't say. So as I read back through it, I had to line it out and change that word or just leave it out. But you know what? I haven't finished that. It's still sitting somewhere in the house. So I'm not a writer. He is. People have said, Brother Horn, why don't you write a book? I don't write books. I'm lazy. But that's just it in my what I do. Listen, the third thing I want you to learn is that God uses, actually I had an illustration on that, but I'm not using it, so I'm skipping all of that. Okay? because I took up so much time rambling. God used only one nation to reveal himself. Now, I want to show you that in, let me see, where am I at? Psalm 147. That's in the Old Testament, right after Genesis. Now, that I know. Psalm 147. If you get to Proverbs, go back one chapter, one book. 147, verses 19 and 20. He showeth his words unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, we have known them. Praise you, the Lord. He hasn't dealt with any nation the way he has with Israel. Now, that's going to be on through the future. Okay, so I'm about to chase a horse. You say a rabbit, but when I chase them, they're horses. And I ain't going to do it. There's only one nation that he has dealt with out of all the nations in the world. And God used only one man to form that nation, Genesis. I told you we were going to be in Genesis to go backwards. Genesis what? 12? 12. Genesis 12, verses 1 and 2. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thine country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. You would think that a person that's going to be the head of a nation would have a great place to live in. I mean, all the leaders of all countries always have a palace or a great home or something. Abraham had a tent. So you can't look at what a person has and determine whether they're being used of God or not. And if a person gets saved later in life, and they've accumulated things in their lost state, that doesn't mean that God has blessed them above you. By the way, what did he promise to give us? He promised to give us food, clothes, and a roof over our head. And he said, Matthew 6:33, and then everything else is added. That verse over there in Psalms says, he daily loadeth us with benefits. That's the adding. Everything you've got, he's added. And he has one thing for one person. He has something else for somebody else. So you don't know how God. There's no reason to even be upset. Well, I don't have this, and I don't have that. But look at what you do have. Now when Jesus was in the temple, the treasury, and the widow cast in her two mites, one penny, into the treasury, it got his attention. And all these other rich people were just coming in and throwing in all this riches. Never opened his mouth. But when she's put in one penny, he said, she's put in more than all of them. Because she doesn't have anything else in her pocketbook. When she goes home, she's broke. And when they go home, they're going to the steakhouse. So you may think your little offering of a quarter or a dime or 30 cents or $2 isn't very much. But when you look at your wallet and you say, man, it's going to be tight this week, but God has told you to put it in. When you put it in, that which is really tight, all of a sudden becomes a gushing, overflowing, abundant blessing. And some of you have never experienced that. Some of you have always thought that you had to provide everything. All you have to do is provide what you can. And God will provide everything else. Some of you have never had somebody over that you weren't expecting, but your wife had already made the meal and made enough just for you, your family. And all of a sudden, here comes this a Bushy family. And you say, what am I going to do? You're going to put some more water in the soup. But there's time we didn't even have time to do that. You know what? When everybody had eaten, everybody was full, we had leftovers. And God did that, has done that more than once. And God will do it for you. Did we ask God to do it? No. Because there's blessings that you don't have to ask for. He daily loadeth us if you ask. That's not what it says. He daily loadeth us with benefits because he wants to. He used one man, one, to make a nation. And he used only one person to save the world. See, God uses one. That's like the value of one. The one. I was talking with Brother Brandon this past week, and he was talking about one. And I was home with my, where my wife hit me, you know, with my teeth that were gone. But I told Brandon that Wake Forest, University of Wake Forest, Winston-Salem, that is a massive campus. Huge. When it was in Wake Forest, they were going to move. And they had two locations they could go to. By one vote of the board, it moved to Winston-Salem. If the vote had gone the other way, it would have moved to Olin, North Carolina. One vote. Now, I'd say that's pretty important. That means you wouldn't be a country person. You'd be a big city person. That doesn't mean that you'd have all this land out here. That means that there would be vehicles everywhere. And there would be crime. That's more than what's here now. One vote. So do you count? Yeah, you count. Does it matter whether I go to church on Sunday morning or Sunday night? Yeah, it matters. Because the person that looks up to you may be looking for you. While I was home, I was watching the live stream, and my daughter-in-law, Carrie, and her two kids were sitting right down here. And they were cutting up the other night, you know. And I got up and I walked over to Amy and I said, when I was home watching on a live stream, I could see you. That means your mama's home today, not good, feeling good. So she's watching on a live stream and she can see whether you're messing around or not. People are watching and you don't know who it is. So God uses, sometimes the actions can be done only by one person. Every action is not for everybody. Now, I've got 8 minutes. That's a miracle. See, you thought miracles didn't happen anymore. What does all this have to do with you? All that was introduction. First of all, let's consider God. God himself. It's God's plan. God's plan for the age is the church. Everything should go through there. That's why I don't like these parachurch organizations. Because they get out from underneath the umbrella of the church. But some of them are very good. Okay? I didn't agree with them. I may not agree with them, but I don't like the structure. But Malachi 3:16, it says, I change not. Aren't you glad that God doesn't change? Not like our government. We're fighting all the time in Washington about what's going to be the new law. What's going to be the new law? Oh, we got a different law now. Oh, that law was last week. We got a different one this week. And you go out here. I remember when they changed the speed limit on 21. That made me so mad. I mean, you're out in the country and you got to do 45. You're supposed to do 45. Some people do 45. I do sometimes. But I remember when it changed. I said, what are they doing? I remember when they changed the speed limit in Harmony and moved it out. I said, we ain't never had any accidents out here. What are they changing the speed limit for? And you've got to be careful on these speed limits everywhere you go. I found out John and I one time were coming down Mayberry Road. Ivydale. It's a dirt road. And a guy had just moved in. I'm getting off course. I ain't telling you no more. Anyway, he dug a ditch across the road because he didn't like cars going so fast because he had some kids. And we were going to work. We worked for Douglas and Sons, and we were going to work. And man, we came and we, it could mess up your whole front end. You know, we could have it wind up. So he stopped, backed up. The guy was over there doing something, and he said, "Hey, you got to cover this." And the guy got upset about it. He said, "I got kids that live here. Don't need y'all going through here so fast." We weren't speeding. So John said, I can go through here at 55 miles an hour. No, you can't. So anyway, they got an argument, called the police. The police came out. And so come to find, and I didn't know this. If it's not posted on a country road, the speed limit is 55 miles an hour. And number two, if it's a dirt road or any other dirt road, and it's a state road, you can't touch it. They said, now, if you want to, you can get some signs and put up here and say, children, slow, or watch out for children, but you can't touch that road. That's learning, folks. Hey, we do that in the Christian life. We may do something all our lives, and it'd be wrong, and not know it until one day, God says, okay, this is what it's supposed to be. You say, yeah, but he said, that's what it's supposed to be. Now get in line. And we, you know what we need to do? Get in line. Because the blessing ain't coming until we get in line. So God doesn't change. Number two, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change either. So God's not going to change. So what we learn is that what God has in motion is going to be here. And we're the ones that have to change, not God. Second thing is, we need to consider the New Testament. Now, I don't have time to read all of it, but in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 31, if I had all my teeth, especially my eye teeth, I could read it real fast. This is a place that talks about spiritual gifts. And this is, and it, as, if you read this, you'll realize that what I've already said today is right here in these verses. I mean, we could have come right here, but I wanted to give you illustrations that the Holy Spirit is the one that gives the gifts, and he gives to every man severally as he wills. So if we look at somebody else and say, why don't I have that gift? I'm just as good as they are. Exactly, you are just as good as they are. But you were not given that gift because the Holy Spirit didn't want to give you that gift. And so just back it up, swallow your pride, and just keep on going until God shows you what your gift is. Now, I got it. I've got to quit. But listen, folks. Here's a way that I found out what my gift was. And it was years after I was already in the ministry. What was the one thing that God always led me into? We tried to go to the mission field. I was in Holland, surveying the field, and I looked out the window of the missionary's home that I was staying in, and it's like God said, "You don't love these people." I said, "No, I don't. I love the country. I love the land. I love their how they live. They sweep their streets. They don't have street sweepers. I love it over there, but I don't love the people." He says, "You don't belong here." I said, "That's right." So I was going over there for a month. I stayed 1 week. Read my Bible every day. Asked God what he wanted me to do. I came back and I told my wife, I said, "I'm resigning the mission. We're not supposed to go to Europe." What had she done all her life growing up? Missions. What did I do all my life? Saved life. Once I went to school. Missions. And God all of a sudden, no. But you know what? There's a place in the Bible that actually happened. In Acts. The Apostle Paul wanted to go into Asia, and the Holy Spirit would not let him go. And then he wanted to go into another area, and the Holy Spirit said no. But I thought God loved the world. But that wasn't God's will. Do you realize if he had gone into Asia, that we wouldn't be saved probably? Because the direction he went was Macedonia and Europe. And Europe became America. Hey, guess what? The gospel came here. And if he'd gone the other way, the gospel would have been behind them. And they'd have gone over into Asia. But it's just, I came back. The pastor called me down there in Key West. He says, "Mike, what you going to do?" I said, "I have no idea. I do know. I'm going to get me a job and provide for my family because God expects me to do that." He says, "So you need work?" I said, "Yeah." He says, how about coming and working in the school?" They had a Christian school. I said, I have no experience. I have no idea what to do. Well, for the next almost 30 years, I taught in Christian education and loved it. You talk about a youth pastor, I had them every day teaching them the Word of God, teaching them the algebra, that nice subject. You won't believe this, but English. I taught English. But I did it all by the grace of God. And God says, "What are you doing all the time?" I said, "I'm teaching." He says, "Let's see, what's your gift?" My primary gift was teaching. And so, find out what God has you doing. And that could be, the gift that God has given you to exercise in the church. It's past time. I know y'all need your coffee. And there's no more Krispy Kremes, I'm sure of that. Because Rodney's been out there. But listen, it says desire spiritual gifts, but I show you a more excellent way. Oh, this was so good. The more excellent way is charity, which is not love. Love is not a gift. Two things about love. One, love is a fruit of the Spirit. The very first one mentioned. So it can't be a gift. Because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're filled with love. We just have to let it come out. Two, God is love. And we are taught of God to love one another. We're taught. That means we have to learn to do that. Why did the disciples have to be told so many times by Jesus Christ himself, love one another? You like your tax man? You like the IRS? That's who Matthew was. Levi was a tax collector. And there were four fishermen that couldn't catch a fish in a pail of bait. You think they loved one another? And so we have to be taught to love one another. That means there's going to be people that you don't like that you have to ask God to love them through you. And he'll do it. There was one time I wanted to kill a person. Me, as a preacher. I wanted to take a knife right in his chest because of the way he treated my family. I said, God, that's not right. Forgive me. I said, Lord, I don't like him. I hate him. Would you love him through me? He and I became the best friends. He would ride his bicycle out over to our house, and we ride from Key West out to Stock Island, about 3 or 4 miles, to clean our church. Not his church, our church. But God did it, not me. And to this day, every once in a while, I get something from him online. Listen, God's powerful. God can do what you think he can't do. With God, nothing, zero, nothing shall be impossible. I can't get along with this boss. I got to get another job. Maybe you just need to let God step in. We need to be yielded to the Spirit of God to let the attributes of Jesus Christ flow through us to those around us. And as we do that, God will reveal what the real gift is. The gift is not something to show off. It's not a show-off gift. He doesn't give it to you to show off in church. It's something to edify the body. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for this time together. Strengthen us through your word. Be with Pastor and fill him with the Spirit of God. May have the message that we need, and may we receive the message that we need. In Jesus' name, amen.